this dumb motherfucker, Kenny. I don't know exactly who thought it was a good idea to bring Jonathan Coachman back, but this dumb motherfucker has no idea. Not a single fucking...
Whoa. Listen. We've had feedback.
Yeah.
Feedback from the listeners that we are...
love hearing from them.
We are too negative about Raw. How can you be negative about syphilis?
It doesn't last forever. Are they watching the same fucking shit that we are?
I'm going to put a proposal forward to you, David, that I think is going to change the face of the Raw run. Are you ready?
I have developed a twitch from watching this shit.
Okay, for this week only, I, as the owner and COO and president of Inside the Ropes, their own legitimate titles, you, for 1 week, it has been proclaimed, have to be positive about everything we talk about on this week's Raw. Every single thing. And if you are not positive, you know what I'm going to do to you? Motherfucker?
Please fire me.
I am going to make you watch King of the Ring 1995 on loop for 24 hours.
Oh, fuck. Is that the one that King Mabel won?
4 Savio Vega matches, motherfucker. You think it's bad now, but you see that fucking Caribbean prick. So here's your choice. You can watch 24 hours of King of the Ring 95. And then you can say whatever you want on here. Or, for 1 week only, you can take the high road. You take the high road and they take the low road. And you can be positive about Raw. Whatever your choice is, David, I'm okay with it. This is a democracy. Choice. Brexit was a choice. We fucked it. But it was a choice. The election was a choice. You fucked it. You put in Trump. But it was a choice. This is your time to make a choice. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose Putin, which is King of the Ring 95? Or are you going to choose this week's Raw to be positive, which is cute puppies in a watermelon?
Oh, I guess I have to look on the bright side of life, Kenny. I'm going to be positive this week.
That is the spirit, and we're going to do that in just 1 minute. But before we do, I'm going to be serious for it. Can I legit take the floor for a second? All joking aside.
Oh, I got all my shit here on the floor. Hold on one second. Let me
knock out.
Pick up all my luggage. All right, I'm leaving.
So, I don't want to get dredged up in it, and I really have tried the last kind of couple of months to stop talking about it. But I want to bring up water culture very quickly, because it was kind of brought to my attention today that, you know, because I never really thought this was something that needed to be said, but I think it is. And David, come in at any point when you want to.
I'm all the way over here. I got my luggage.
You're my fucking baggage, pal. But anyway, so the thing is, I'd put a thing out today. Somebody had tweeted me an article that went up on What Culture about Sasha Banks and Bayley, and it was kind of like they tagged me and Jack the Jobber and Adam Pacitti and Ross and all that kind of stuff, and said, you know, what do you guys think of this? And all I said was, and I meant it generally, I was like, listen, to me, and I've always said this, whether you've come up to me at a show and asked me, you know, if I want to do a podcast about wrestling, what do you think? Have you got any advice or like anything about like people, you know, if you consume entertainment in some way? Or journalism. Like, what do you think is the key to being good? And I've always said, you either need to be informative or you need to be entertaining. And if you can do both, you've nailed it. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Of course. I would agree with that.
So I just said, in full seriousness, I said, listen, if you are following an outlet and you feel they are not providing you with either entertainment and or information, then I would say go somewhere else. That's my motto. And someone who works at Walk Culture, who is a friend of mine, responded and said, you know, if that's how you feel about moving on, then maybe you shouldn't be burying Walk Culture all the time, and therefore, by extension, burying your friends who work there. And I didn't realize that was how that person felt. I hadn't spoken to them in a year, so fair enough. And I have since heard from other people that a lot of people have gotten in touch with people who work at What Culture and been very aggressive and nasty and things to them. So I want to make this clear, because I thought it was clear already, but maybe not. I am 100% confident that every single listener to this podcast, the thousands of people that listen to Inside the Ropes, are not stupid enough to threaten any member of the What Culture staff, or have ever figured that that's what I wanted anybody to do. That's never what I've said. The people who work at What Culture are delightful. The people who manage it should be set on fire and burned. And I mean burned. Because they are incompetent and should not run a wrestling company. Oh wait, they already did that, but they're defiant now. Anyway, so but the people who work there should never be in any way held to account for that. That was never what it was about. That was never what I thought. My anger comes from, and I'm trying to be as honest as I can be here. I was not paid for doing a Cornette documentary in Orlando. There is a monetary discrepancy between myself and What Culture, and when I tried to raise my side of it, the response was a small claims court letter that I was sent. I am a single guy who runs a small business. I do not have the money to compete with a small claims court letter, so I could not pursue it. So I have a weekly money that I send What Culture to pay them back for what they feel they're owed. However, my money that I feel I was owed, I was told that's not a discussion we're willing to enter into. That is why I was hospitalized in 2016 with a stomach ulcer because I was so stressed during my work with What Culture. That is why I cannot bring myself to be positive about that company and about the management who work there. That's my thing. I get that's my thing. But the other side of it, if it wasn't for What Culture, if it wasn't for my time there, I would not be where I am right now. I would not have what I have with Inside the Ropes. I recognize the good parts of it. But I just can't bring myself to promote it in any way, shape, or form. Now, tonight, I was made to realise by a couple of people who work there that they are, by default, punished because of those management people. And that is something that shouldn't happen. So I am saying this with all fucking seriousness. If any of you are listening to this and you have at any point tweeted or anything to anybody on screen at What Culture or anybody who writes there or anything like that, and you have done that, I really hope that people who listen to this haven't, and I really have a high opinion of people who listen to this, so I hope that they have not. If you have, please apologise to those people. They don't deserve that. They didn't sign up for that. Just because they work for Papa John doesn't mean they shoot elephants, you know? Like, it's,
right,
like,
right.
It's not the same thing. Those people should not be punished. They are doing their best. They are trying to do some work. It's not their fault they're not Adam Blompier. That's a hard gig to have, where when you're not one of the five or the six or whoever, that you get the shit. So I'm from the bottom of my heart saying, please do not in any way punish anyone who's on screen. However, to the man who owns What Culture, fuck you and die. Have I made that discrepancy clear enough?
Yeah, I think that the air is cleared on your portion of the What Culture events, Kenny. Good. At least I hope. But
I hope so. But look, there are a lot of good people who write there. I have friends who write there and are on screen there. If you like those people, support them. But it goes back to my first term, and I mean this generally for anything. If you are entertained and or informed, that's what you should do. And to the people who sent us some messages on Facebook today and said, you know, that we might be too negative, I don't mean to be patronizing, because like, I totally take feedback on board. If you think we are negative, like, oh my god, like, and the whole thing is, the negativity comes from a place of wanting it to be better. That's what it comes to, and doesn't come from anywhere else. Now, right. I will say, I think sometimes David maybe hams up stuff that he thinks for the purpose of a podcast, but who can blame the guy? He's got to sit through 3 hours of this.
And beyond that, if I were to come on here, and I love Lance Storm, but like, if I were to come on here Lance Storm style or Dave Meltzer style and very monotonely give my opinions, how would that make this podcast any different from any other podcast that you could go to? What I try to bring to the podcast is a large personality. It is the type of thing I want people to be in on our jokes. I want them to laugh with us or at us. I don't care. So long as you're laughing, right? So if you strip that away, then I'm just a mark who's not in the business, who has wrestling opinions. And who gives a shit about another mark with wrestling opinions on the internet? Wow, the fat, balding white guy has wrestling opinions? Next.
So until you said bald, I was like, are you describing me? I didn't know who you were talking about. Trust me, it's like imagine being in the chocolate factory and going, why am I in here? Like, should I not be on the side?
Right.
We get to talk about wrestling. It's cool as shit. So what we're going to do this week is we're going to talk about Raw for a little bit. David has to be positive, and I'm going to exploit that for everything it's worth.
I love Monday Night Raw.
Now, what I'm going to do is see, once we've stopped talking about Raw, I'm going to lift the ban. Okay? But then what we're going to do is something I think is important for us to do, because we've not done it in a while, and I think it'd be good content. We are going to cover a couple of our favorite things in WWE in the last couple of years to show what makes it good, right? So, like, what makes a good match? What makes a good character? What makes a good gimmick? What makes a good event? And we'll focus on that rather than focusing on the negative points of the show. So, also that I would say, please do go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/insidetheropes, where we have a 2.5-hour Extreme Rules review. The first hour and a half has Sondra and David, which I've not listened to yet, but I've been told I should, so I...
It will make you want to kill yourself. That's my pitch for giving us money.
Yeah. Kill yourself. Money. Tangent. However, I then came in an hour and a half in, drunk, because Bill Goldberg decided during the meet and greet that we should start drinking Peroni.
Oh!
So I, of course, did. And funny, actually, so there's a lot of videos coming up on YouTube, but Bill, so there's a video coming up on our YouTube channel where, and I don't say this in like a kind of a hyperbole way, the tensest interview I've ever done.
And I don't know if you remember from being in a drunken stupor, but you gave some behind the scenes stories on the Extreme Rules podcast about the Goldberg thing. So head on over there and subscribe, and you can hear those stories.
What did I give away?
Lots of dirt, Kenny. A lot of inside stories from the Bill Goldberg show last night. Folks want to hear that.
I may need to listen to this. They want to go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I told...
Get over there before he takes it down.
Alright, well, speak to take it down. You would know about that. I have to take things down that you said before I get taken to court. Anyway, for a second time.
So many court cases whenever we get together, Kenny.
I'll throw the batty over to me. I don't think I told this on the thing last night. But by the way, so you also at one point get to hear during the Extreme Rules review where I'm outside a hotel room screaming about Carmella to the point where the hotel manager has to tell me to move.
Yeah, and then you go and you scream that everyone who reported you is a bunch of cunts.
Did I?
You did. It was great.
Kids, don't touch Peroni. You don't realize where it's going.
Good.
One of my favorite questions was, because the thing about the Goldberg interview on stage that we did was he trusts me, which is a very weird thing to say. So he, like, I can kind of try and push it a little bit further than he normally would. And I genuinely think if you were in Dublin and you can back this up, I don't think he's ever opened up more than that night. Ever. Like, he was opening up about shit that he never, you know, he was saying, you know, it wasn't my job to think about creative, it was my job to be a wrestler. And I would say, wait a minute. But then he was very negative on Vince Russo, and I'm like, well, you just said it's not your job to think about creative, so why negative on him? So I was pushing at points where I thought I could. And we talked about his WWE run in 2003, 2004, some really good stuff, and then I said, you know, was there ever any consideration to go to TNA? And he just looked at me and went, I spoke to her. and I didn't buy what she was selling. And I was, okay, I think we all know what he means.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good.
So, but then we go backstage and we decide to do a YouTube interview for with Bill. And my first question, because, you know, he's going back to his hotel soon, so let's just get into it. I say, hey, Brett, okay, Bill, my first question is, you know, the Hall of Fame this year, you're the headline inductee, you know, huge deal, and, but, you know, the show goes so long that there's all these empty seats, and he interrupts me and says, this is the way you're going to start this interview? You're just going to be like everybody else and dish for dirt? I thought better of you than this. And I'm like, whoa, in my head. And then I was like, well, no, that's actually not my question. Why don't you should get to your question? And he, like, grills the shit out of me. And so when once it was finished, I had to say to Ollie, who filmed it, I said, was it okay? Like, was it... Because I feel like I maybe wasn't very good. And he was like, it was compelling. Because he was testing the shit out of you. And then as he left, he said, I love you, brother. I'll see you soon. And I was like... Honestly, I wish that people could work with Bill Goldberg for 1 hour. He's the most intense man alive, but he's a sweetheart, and I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, that's a really weird combination to have there, to walk that line.
But we're talking about some really cool stuff together, maybe over in the United States one day, which I think
would be cool.
David will be there if that happens.
No doubt. And in fact, you know, I mean, St. Louis was a huge territory, Kenny. Sam Muchnick, come on.
It was, yes, Sam Muchnick. Now David Arquette wrestles there. So.
Yes, yeah, it's true. It's true. David Arquette, get your tickets August 24th, St. Louis Anarchy.
Sometimes your mother's grave gets raped, you know, you have to just deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, hey, you never know. Hey, I'm going to be talking to David Arquette about that Inside the Ropes tour. Was I not supposed to say that on air?
I actually did. fuck off. I did. I did ask him about. You know, we talked about the title change with Arquette, and I'd said first, even before Bill says, you know, I think it's fair to everyone should know that he did donate the money when he won the title to Pillman and Owens families.
Yeah.
And Bill Goldberg put David Arquette over huge at that show. So
I've never heard anyone. Like, who was around David Arquette say a bad word about David Arquette. Everyone who wasn't wants to trash him, but, like, everyone who, like, played a part in that, or, like, you know, they were in the backstage periphery, that type of thing, everybody tends to have nice, overwhelmingly good things to say about David Arquette.
I know what you're trying to do, Dave. You're trying to avoid talking about Raw because you don't want to be positive. So what I'm going to do here... I'm going to bring up five things I enjoyed from Monday Night Raw, and David, you're going to talk about them, and then I'm going to really test you, because I'm going to bring up some other things that, who knows, we're just going to see what you think of them.
Oh.
You mean, oh, right?
Oh, I'm so positive about Monday Night Raw.
Okay, let's talk about what I think was an excellent opening segment. We had Kurt Angle.
Sure.
You're a dick. Kurt Angle comes out. He says there's one wrestler who's shown very little dedication to Raw, and that's Brock Lesnar. He's going to strip him the Universal Championship, but before he can do it, we hear, ladies and gentlemen, it's Paul Heyman. He comes out, and Angle said, you know, everyone knows who you are and who you represent, and if Lesnar doesn't come out right now, then you're wasting your time. Heyman says it was interesting that Angle said it that way, because, you know, Heyman gave the build-up introduction for Lesnar before saying he wasn't there, and then Kurt Angle ends up trying to strip the belt when Heyman rushes to the ring. The fans are chanting what I think was take the title?
Strip the title, I think.
Strip the title, okay. Strip the title. I knew it was one of them.
You know a lot about stripping, Kenny.
Well, Val does enjoy it, so, you know, I have to help her out on FaceTime.
That's fair.
Paul then says that, you know, Kurt and the fans have the misconception that Lesnar doesn't care about being Universal Champion. He cares more about winning the UFC title. But Heyman says Lesnar loves being in WWE and being the Universal Champion. Oh, he's so good. And Kurt's like, then why the hell doesn't he show up? And Heyman says that Lesnar wants to wear the WWE Universal Championship when he challenges the UFC title. He wants Lesnar to represent WWE by becoming a two-sport champion. Just as Kurt challenged for all the WWF titles with his Olympic gold medal strapped around his neck. What a great fucking reference.
Yeah, totally excellent reference.
Kurt says, you know, more power to Lesnar if that's his goal, but he will defend the title at SummerSlam or he is no longer champion. Heyman ends up saying, you know, you drive a hard bargain, but Brock Lesnar will defend the Universal title at SummerSlam. So then we have Bobby Lashley comes out. Big Bob.
Bob the Builder. Good matches.
Bob with a headband.
Headband Bob. This is better than anything that happened on Raw.
What did you just say?
Kenny, it's high praise for us because we're so good.
Despite how great
Monday Night Raw was, we're even better.
Okay, see, before we talk more about Raw, what's your rating for this Raw that you loved? Your official rating for the entirety of history. When people look back in 20 years and they look through the Raw rundown and the ratings out of 10, what's your rating for this show?
Oh, boy, I loved it so much, and all the right people won, so I guess it would have to be... All the right people won.
You actually doing this with a straight face? Come on.
You can't really judge an event unless the right people win and all the good people won properly. So I guess it would be about an 8.5.
This is my favorite thing I've ever seen. This shows you how fucking bad Savio Vega is as a professional wrestler. Like,
I don't want to watch Savio.
So Big Bob comes out. Once he's in the ring, he says that, you know, he had two goals in mind when coming back. He wanted to beat Roman Reigns, and now it's time to accomplish the other, beat Brock Lesnar and win the Universal title. And then my favorite bit of the show. Drew McIntyre comes out and he says, you know, he didn't come back to the WWE to take a roster number or stand Dolph Ziggler's corner. He said phase one was putting the IC title around Ziggler and phase two is the Universal Championship. And the fans chant yes, and I almost cried. I was so happy that they were.
It's kind of funny how badly they want to cheer Drew McIntyre. I think, honestly, if they wanted to, they could turn him babyface like right now. And he would be one of the top baby faces on Raw.
Do you think, because obviously, like, they're doing the kind of Shawn and Diesel thing, right? Like, with
right,
and,
right.
And they'd actually, I would definitely say one of the top three acts on Raw.
Right, you know what's kind of funny, though? They kind of teased that was over now. Did you notice that?
There was a little bit of tease there. I mean, I don't think it is, but I think it's kind of cool to see the tease because you're like, well, you know, you want it to continue a little bit. So the tease is maybe good to see what they do because, you know, we talked in the Extreme Rules review. One of the things I was really impressed at was the booking of Drew. Because Drew, I mean, would you agree, Drew's not being booked like a jobber?
No, he hasn't lost, technically. Like, he himself has not been pinned or submitted. So, no, he looks great.
Seth Rollins comes out, they go face-to-face. I feel like Seth and Drew is the SummerSlam match I want.
I think that's the SummerSlam match you're going to get, Kenny.
Rollins says that, you know, if you want to see somebody who wants to face Brock Lesnar, you've got a guy right here. Then Elias comes out. Now, is it just me or did Elias suddenly develop a lisp out of nowhere?
Yeah, it was a little weird, you know. I don't know exactly what was going on with Elias, but... We'll get more into Elias later on, though.
So Elias comes out. He says he wants to be number one contender. Then we had Finn Balor come out. He reminded everyone that he was the first Universal Champion, so he should be getting a shot. Roman Reigns comes out. He doesn't care about Brock Lesnar, apparently. He just wants to fight someone. So Kurt Angle announces two triple threat matches with the winners going on next week to face each other, and the winner of that will go to SummerSlam. So we're going to get... Elias, Rollins, and Lashley, and then we're going to get McIntyre, Balor, and Reigns, and the first match take place after the break. What do you think about what they did here? They tried to bring a bunch of people out and kind of show that everybody wants a shot at the Universal title?
Yeah, I always enjoy whenever they have, like, these things where it's, like, a pseudo-tournament, right? Like, they'll have, even if it's just a two-week tournament like this, and it just consists of three total matches, I always like that kind of stuff. It makes it like that harkens back to whenever I was a kid and everyone had an even playing field, right? So there's that nice aspect to it, to where somebody can come out and a Finn Balor could win and move on and face the Universal Champion at SummerSlam, and he has the same amount of a chance to win as a Roman Reigns. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, good point. So that was one of the five things I really liked on the show. Number two, I thought the triple threat match with Roman, Drew, and Finn was tremendous.
Oh, excellent match.
They go 22 minutes, and there was points where you thought all three guys were going to win. There's one point where Drew sets up the Claymore and ends up running into a Superman punch. It was a great spot. And it goes on, and then Reigns takes out Drew with a Superman punch, and then Reigns spears and pins Balor. Definitely the right move to not pin Drew right now, and I don't think it really hurts Balor to take a pinfall. So even though Roman is not our choice, I thought the match was great.
Roman was my choice, Kenny.
Because were you wearing your Kyle Burdick approved vest? Your special vest when you got on the special bus?
But people think I'm special when I wear it.
That's what Kyle says. Were you wearing the glove as well, so you could like put a fist in the ground and go, "Hoo!" Roman Reigns' noise if he's doing a fisting motion in the ring is your noise where you ejaculate?
Well, you know, they always say that you need to take from the greats of the industry. And I guess Roman saw that video and he was like, you know, I think I can co-opt that into my wrestling act, and started doing the "Ooh!" that I'm so famously known for.
The number three thing that I thought was really fun on Raw was Dolph Ziggler, which I never thought I would say. I loved when he was backstage getting somebody to shine his championship. It was like the best thing. And then he faces Bobby Roode, who obviously, you know, I mean, it's an old Yeller situation right now. But Dolph Ziggler beats him in like a 30-minute match. But who would have thought that Dolph Ziggler as Intercontinental Champion on Raw as a heel would be effective? It's a very weird world that we live in.
Yeah, he got the hard reset from Drew, and I don't know if the partnership with Drew is over now, but if it is, I feel like the baby bird has flown the coop, and he has the wings on his own to go and fly away. So they did a good job rehabilitating Dolph, which I never thought they'd be able to do.
Number four, I'm going to give some praise on, is the main event championship match with Bobby Lashley, Elias, and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins can really do no wrong, right? Like, he is the best.
He's not the best, Kenny, but we'll get more into that later, I'm sure, whenever you bring up your negatives. But he's the third best.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Lashley's on a roll, right? He beat Roman Reigns, now he's beat Seth and Elias. Almost like it's a shoe-in that he's going to go on to SummerSlam to become the Universal Champion. He's going to beat Roman Reigns twice in a row, I think. What did you make of the match?
It wasn't as good as the first match of the first triple threat, but I thought that it was good. And it's kind of funny, if you would have told me that the one with Seth would be the lesser of the two matches at the start of this, I wouldn't have believed that, but sure enough. To be fair, though, I think that the first match had more capable hands. You've got Drew and Finn and Roman, all three of whom know how to work that WWE style, as opposed to the ladder match, which latter with T's, not D's, the ladder match, which had Seth, who is probably the best overall WWE performer. And then he was in there with Lashley, who I'm still not exactly sold on. And Elias, who is a terrible wrestler, but an excellent personality. So Seth had an uphill battle to match that first one. And I think that they came pretty close, though. But that first match was a great match. That was the best TV match they've had since the first Ziggler and Seth match in Grand Rapids.
It was wow, wasn't you? Spouting the city names of everywhere. Look at you. You're such a dedicated Raw viewer, David.
I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny.
Can you sing to me your favorite Raw theme?
We're going there tonight!
That's the one I was thinking of! That's literally the one that came into my head. Like, of all the ones, I thought, he's going to sing that one.
Yeah, the one I was going to sing was,
if you did that one, I was going to go, the jar to say, not going to listen. I get the jar to say, the music would move to the music. Play that for. So I was going to go into that one, but, you know.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, if motherfuckers aren't entertained by this Raw rundown, I don't know what to tell you.
Listen, I'm giving my big guns right now. I've literally got my dick out. That's like,
yeah.
I was gonna say
we're simultaneously twirling the phalluses.
Next week's gonna be 45 minutes of hold music.
I'm not here next week. I'm on business in San Francisco. Oh, hallelujah! No Monday Night Raw. I mean, I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny.
You are contracted to 50 episodes a year. You've already taken one off this year.
It's a leap year, Kenny.
That means you need to be here for 49, motherfucker. You can take this one off, right? You can take next week off. But see, when Val gives birth, you're not taking that off.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I don't want to be there anyway. It's fine.
By the way, can I just say, why would men ever want to be below, like, the top of the body? Like, you stay up there for that shit. Like, I remember one of my friends is a woman. She was like, I said, would you ever want, like, your boyfriend or husband who you have a kid with to be, like, down at your vagina? She was like, no. Yeah. You think I want him to see me shit myself and then shove a desk at my vagina? I was like, yeah, that's fair.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is I've seen John Carpenter's The Thing. I know what happens whenever they give birth. So.
I've seen John Carpenter's The Thing. I mean, of all the things that you could bring up, I've seen The Thing.
Yeah. No, I've seen exactly what it's like. And it's fucking horrifying, Kenny. You know, they don't make special effects that scary.
So that'll send us all into an early grave. But my favorite thing on Raw, my favorite thing of all, was the Ronda Rousey segment. We have Alexa Bliss and Mickey James coming out. Is it just me, or is Mickey James looking hot as fuck?
Mickey James is a beautiful woman. And I'm not saying that because I'm contractually obligated to, like, the rest of that shit. I mean, I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny.
Good boy. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? He wants a toffee biscuit.
Give me the belly rub.
Don't make it weird. So, Mickey James and Alexa Bliss come out.
Little lower.
I am not going there. Alexa Bliss and Mickey James make their entrance. Alexa boasts about she's beaten everyone in the roster. And then as she's bragging about that, Ronda Rousey walks through the crowd from the middle of the aisleway up top. Somebody did post a picture of her in her braids beside the road dog, and I can't unsee it. So basically, she's like the road dog.
Oh, you didn't know, Kenny?
That's what she said at the barber's. So she comes she comes through the crowd. Alexa Bliss tries to leave. Rousey ends up meeting them on the stage. She then runs after them. She hits her like new move that she's got on Mickey James. It looks tremendous. Referees are trying to get, and Alexa Bliss are all trying to get Mickey out the ring. She's trying to armbar her. Rousey runs up the ramp. She takes everybody out. Referees, women with a dive. Ronda brings Alexa back to the ring. She's about to put her in an armbar when Kurt Angle comes out and stops her and says, you can't do this. You need to stop. You need to calm down. You've got one more week to go. And then Baron Corbin comes out. Sorry, wait a minute. Constable Corbin. we get Constable Corbin, the Lord and Savior, of course. He comes out and he wants Ronda Rousey to be reprimanded, and he goes to try and get his phone. And my favorite moment of like all time, he can't find his phone. He looks over at Mickie James and goes, "Where's my phone?" And she's like, "I've not got your phone." Because Mickie James knew to steal Baron Corbin's phone. The phone that he was going to phone to help them.
Yes, yes.
So good. Such a nice Easter egg. Angle was like, you know, you've got 2 days left, but Baron Corbin was like, "I'm going to phone Stephanie." But he goes away, and then... So then Kurt Angle says, "I'm going to need to suspend you for another week." And then Corbin's like, "A week? That's it?" Like, you know... it's like he's been grounded, and it's like, "A month? I should only be grounded for a week." So it goes
on. You know what's so good about the Constable Corbin thing is that's such a far cry from his actual personality.
Yeah.
That I love it. Like, you can tell he's so uncomfortable with it, but it works because he's so uncomfortable with it. I love it. He is so much better. And he's still the drizzle and shits in the ring, but as a character, though, he's like the actual heel version of Elias.
Yes, he is. He is tremendous. He's really good in this role.
Yes.
So we then get Kurt Angle saying, you know, but you are going to get your match with Alexa Bliss, and you're going to get a title match for the Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam. If you come back and do this again one more time, though, I'll have to, you know, it's not going to happen, but that's what I'm going to give you. Crowd go mental. I think Ronda Rousey is the best thing in WWE right now. What say you, David?
Ronda Rousey is not the best thing in WWE right now. But Kenny, we got to get into who won the matches later. But Ronda Rousey is a top flight entertaining talent. I like that she's not wrestling every week, so they're keeping her special in that way. I kind of worry that it may end up being more like a Brock Lesnar situation where she wrestles so little that people start to turn on her a bit, because I think that she is very, very good, especially for like just starting. So I'm very interested to see like how this takes off once she gets that championship. And this segment was excellent. And who would have thought Constable Corbin was a linchpin in this segment working.
So now I want to ask you, because you obviously love Monday Night Raw, right?
I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny.
So I want to bring up two things that I want to get your take on. I was very happy to see the brand new deserving Raw Tag Team Champions, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Almost reminded me of New Japan Pro Wrestling. To see them defeat the Ascension in 2 minutes and 10 seconds, almost G1-esque, I thought. What do you make of this, I think, classic tag team match?
I think that it really speaks to the depth of the Raw tag team roster that they were able to have entirely different opponents from who I had previously thought they would wrestle in the Revival. So they came out and they wrestled the Ascension, who I kind of forgot existed. But boy, now that we need more tag teams, because the tag team division's on fire so much, I like that there's so much competition. If I can quote Michael Cole, "Tag team division's really heating up, Kenny."
I almost feel you could fry an egg on this tag team division.
Yeah, it's really good. I like that there's so much competition. A lot of people would say that it's the best tag team division in the world.
Ah, boy. Up next, we need to talk about... like, tell me one of your favorite WWE feuds, like, in history. Like, one of the classics.
Oh, in history, the Mega Powers exploding. That was pretty good. You had Macho Man and Hulk Hogan. You know, that was awesome. Owen and Brett, you know, the sibling rivalry. That was great.
Do you think it's
and
safe to say
probably
that...
the best one? Probably the best one. Austin and McMahon.
So I want you to take all three combinations of what made them great, and I want to bring you the greatest segment, the greatest night in the history of our sport, as Tony Schiavone would say.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks and Bayley. I mean, what a feud, right? From Brooklyn in 2015 to the Iron Woman match to WrestleManias together.
Well, you know, it's hard for them to fight each other, though, Kenny, because they had so many good fights before they made it to WWE that it makes it difficult for them to fight now. Because, you know, they bonded so well. They had so many good matches. And it's really difficult for them to get into fisticuffs. And I think it's a great stipulation that Kurt Angle says that they'll be punished if they fight. If they have a wrestling match on a wrestling program, they're going to be punished. So I think that's really good because I don't want them to fight anymore. I think that they're better as friends.
So, I mean, obviously, you've talked extensively in this podcast about, you know, if your integrity was on the line, you would bet that Bayley and Sasha was a feud of 2018. Can you give us five reasons why it's the best feud of 2018, since you love Monday Night Raw?
I can't. I love Monday Night Raw.
But what are the top five reasons why Sasha and Bayley is the best feud of 2018 in WWE? And give me the one reason why you think it's a better feud than any feud in New Japan Pro Wrestling this year, please. Thank you.
Okay. Well, for one, Sasha and Bayley are two of the best women in the history of wrestling, right? So they're two of the best women competitors they've had. So that's one of them. Another one is they had arguably the greatest women's wrestling match of all time at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, right? So that, you know, they have that pedigree is what I'm trying to say. And then they have storylines. Boy, that's different from New Japan. They don't have wacky segments in the back in New Japan where they go to therapy and see Dr. Shelby. So boy, that's entertaining. And then
There's just so many, aren't there?
Hold on, I'm still thinking. And they didn't cheat in the matches that they had before. They couldn't have matches because now they can't have matches because they'll be punished because they can't have matches on a wrestling show.
Because they're ladies.
So they had their integrity intact, and they have really good entrances and theme songs, Kenny.
I mean, I just think your loyalty to WWE just shines through in these kind of segments.
I love the WWE and I love Monday Night Raw, Kenny.
So Bayley said, asked Sasha, you know, because Sasha helped her, earlier on. Sasha Banks says it's one thing for people to beat up if Sasha beats up Bayley, but she'll be damn sure if anyone else does. And Bayley's like, sorry, I'm trying to think how to lose my soul and try and act. So that means you care? Bayley says. And Sasha said, I don't know what's funny about that.
I like your funny voice, Kenny. It was a bad impersonation of a great actress.
Do you think Bayley really should have been in Good Will Hunting? Like when Matt Damon, instead of Mini Driver, it should have been Bayley, right? Because Bayley could have really emoted that, Matt Damon had a tough upbringing. Like, she could have brought a real different part to that character.
I like the idea of those wacky, inflatable, waving, flailing dancing in the background in every scene.
Matt Damon turns up at the uni and he's about to go in, just the wacky, inflailing tube men come out.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, Sasha confirms the fact that she does in fact care. And, Bayley knows that she hates talking about her feelings, but Sasha says that she says, I love you. I always have and I always will. There, I said it. She was there for her friend. What did you make of this? It was emotional.
Kenny, I feel like Sasha loves Bayley about as much as I love Monday Night Raw, which is a whole lot.
Can I I'm gonna give you literally 10 seconds to come out of your love of Monday Night Raw and answer a question honestly, okay?
Okay.
Jinkness angle with Sasha and Bayley's a fucking lesbian angle because she said she loved her.
Fucking loving eating the carpets.
So back to loving Monday Night Raw.
Fucking carpetbaggers, am I right?
Just saying. I mean, I'm so experienced in that realm. It's like asking Einstein about science. It's like me and Pissy, Einstein and science.
You know what's funny though, Kenny? Like all jokes aside.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you came out to me, I was all like, "Wow, no, Kenny's not gay." And then I thought about it, and I was like, "He's never once shared a getting pussy story with me." And like every guy has a getting pussy story, right?
I actually do have one, but I'm just not telling it.
Right. You're sitting on it. You don't boast about it. You're not prideful.
Because I retired a legend.
Right, exactly. You had the one game, and you hit three grand slams in one inning. You did great, but that was it though. You hung up the cleats after that, or the clits as it were.
Oh my god, what's a cleat? I know what a clit is. But I tell you, I'm not visiting Libya.
Spike shoes, Kenny. You know, the sports people wear them. Football, baseball. I'm pretty sure soccer stars wear them too.
Soccer's not a thing, David. That's just a stupid American word. So Raw, you gave Raw an 8.5. My God, you gave this Raw an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, because I love Monday 5. Night. Oh.
This show was a 5. It was a 5. It was like very average.
I liked that all the right people won, Kenny.
So next week is Lashley versus Roman Reigns for the chance to become the number one contender to the Undisputed Championship. I know you're very excited about it. Can you just maybe give us a prediction?
I think it's really a fresh matchup that we haven't seen recently, and that it's going to involve a lot of good spears that don't involve the top of people's heads. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait for it. I love seeing spears, and we're probably going to see like 40 of them in this one between the two. So if a spear is your favorite wrestling move, boy, oh boy, you guys. There's going to be an overabundance of them, so you better put the tape in the VCR and hit record, because you're going to be rewinding, going ooh ah.
And who's gonna win, David? Who's gonna win and go to SummerSlam to face Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship?
You know, I think it's really time for some fresh blood on Monday Night Raw, Kenny, and I think the only person that can provide us with some fresh blood and some new matchups is Dirt.
Roman. Reigns is overput. Right, sorry, what?
I'm taking the big dog. Ruff.
So what a Raw review this has been this week. Lots to unpack, a lot of emotion, a lot of opening statements, a lot of love.
Whole lot of positivity, Kenny, because I love Monday Night Raw.
David, can I tell you something?
Sure, friend.
You have done your job. You can now go back to being normal.
Now I got Stockholm Syndrome, Kenny. I love Monday Night Raw now.
Bayley and Sasha.
Oh, they're so good at wrestling each other, but now they don't get to. Wait, why the fuck aren't they wrestling each other?
Because they have to go to therapy because they're women.
What the fuck?
So we're gonna end this show though on positivity, because if we are not
where was I for like an hour?
Also, can I just say here's like what you're asking us to do sometimes. So okay, I think the people in Charlottesville were bad. However, the men at Charlottesville once drew a really good drawing in high school, and that drawing won a competition, which means it's okay that he's a neo-Nazi.
I'm not touching this with a 50-foot pole. or my dick, as it were, which is completely interchangeable.
That's what
Boom!
She said.
Dick jokes!
Dick jokes on the Raw Rundown. Bah, big Bob! Big Bob Lashley.
Big Bob!
Big Bob, Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley, big old Hitman Bobby.
Big Ball Bob. So
Bobby Big Balls.
Bobby Big Balls Lashley. So to finish, what the fuck is this? To finish things off, we're gonna do this over. We're gonna do this over 2 weeks because I don't trust that next week is gonna be any better. We're gonna do two of our favorite WWE things in the last 3 years, and we'll do another two or three next week. So I'm gonna go to you first, David. Tell me your favorite storyline in the last 3 years in WWE and why. And in all seriousness, why you think this is an example of good WWE storytelling so we can see what maybe people think is the way to go.
Ooh, okay. Well, the thing that got me the most emotional was Daniel Bryan's comeback this year. I don't know if that qualifies as a story, but to me, the best stories are whenever reality blends with fiction. And to me, that worked perfectly because they took a real scenario with real heartbreak and real tragedy and real consequences and blended it with Daniel Bryan mounting his comeback. And I won't count everything that's happened since then, but seeing Daniel Bryan wrestle and seeing him like take bumps from Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on that excellent SmackDown when he returned melted my heart entirely. I was crying big boy tears, Kenny. Just big old tears flopping down. It was a flood plain in my living room, Kenny. I loved it to death. I think even after all the things that have happened to Daniel Bryan after his return, because it's not been pretty, that little encapsulated like month-long story really reeled me in and really made me care. How about for you?
So my one, if I really need to think about it, the last 3 years, we're talking September 2015 to September 2018. What I would have said before September 2015, I actually thought if you remove the Bray Wyatt WrestleMania match, the Undertaker Brock Lesnar story is kind of fascinating. You know, the sure. WrestleMania 30 match, the loss, the SummerSlam rematch. But if we're talking the last 3 years, there is only one option. It is the return of Bill Goldberg and the feud with Brock Lesnar. It revitalized Lesnar. It made people like Sondra, who hated nostalgia of wrestling, love a comeback of Goldberg. It brought us... He was finally able to kind of enjoy himself. He got to, you know, have that great stare down with Undertaker in the Rumble, and then Lesnar eliminates him. And then they have what I think is the greatest 5-minute match I've ever seen, WrestleMania 33. So I think the return of Goldberg and the kind of revitalization of Brock Lesnar was one of the best stories they've ever done, old or new. I think it deserves to be up there. And if they can do that with a part-time guy, then I think there's hope for what they can do with full-time people.
Imagine if that storyline took place right now and Bill Goldberg came out and beat Brock Lesnar in like 5 seconds. How over that would be.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Oh, so good.
Yeah.
One other question. Tell me your favorite match of the last 3 years in WWE and why.
AJ Styles and John Cena at the Royal Rumble. That is just a fantastic match. John Cena ended up beating AJ Styles, which was sad. However, the match itself was brilliant. It was a nice cap off to AJ Styles' first WWE title run, which was a lot better than his second.
It's very true. I mean, I kind of hate that you said it because that was my answer as well. So,
hey, if it's right, it's right.
Actually, do you know what? I'll change it. I actually think their match at SummerSlam 2016 was excellent.
It was excellent. That entire, any match where AJ Styles and John Cena fight each other, I'm going to be there. I'm all about that. That's something that even if I wasn't watching WWE right now and I found out that those two guys were going to have a match, guess what? I'm tuning in.
You'd be there.
Yep.
So that's it. That's our podcast for this week. That's the Raw Rundown. We hope that you've enjoyed it. We hope that even though sometimes there's a little bit of despair, that we have, you know, made sure that we are positive enough for the people who need us to be. And for the people who want us to be negative, we have put enough of our sarcasm in there to make sure that you get what you want too. Because we're here. Please, everybody.
Kenny, I'm not sarcastic whatsoever. I love Monday Night Raw.
Since you love Raw, David, I feel like it's only fair that I let you pick our outro song. So don't tell us what it is. Just introduce it and then you can send it to me and I'll put it at the end. So everybody, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for the Extreme Rules review and tons of other stuff. youtube.com/InsideTheRopes for interviews coming up with Goldberg and Shayna Baszler. There's stuff up there already with Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, Triple H. Tons of stuff with everybody who's anybody in the world of pro wrestling 2018. Also, you can go to Twitter, Zoopsoul, Zoopsoul, ain't he great? Yes, he is. KennyMC1985 on Twitter. And insidetheropes.co.uk for tickets for Edge and Pat Patterson. Thank you for listening, everybody. David, what's playing us out? And say goodbye to the folks at home.
You know, sometimes if you love Monday Night Raw as much as I do, you just gotta look on the bright side of life, Kenny.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And all